Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ, on this holy morning when in which Christ passed over from death to life, we gather as the church to watch and pray. This is the Passover of Christ in which we share in Christ's victory over death. Let us pray. God of life, through Jesus Christ, you have bestowed upon the world the light of life. Sanctify this new fire and grant that our hearts and minds may also be kindled with this holy desire to shine forth in the brightness of Christ's rising, that we may attain to the feast of everlasting light. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Psalter lesson this morning comes from Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. For the moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join with me.
Garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tell, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. The light of Christ rises in glory, overcoming the darkness of sin and death. Christ is our light. This morning, let us pray for the needs of the church and the world to God who raised Jesus to new life. We pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially this day, for Ernestine and Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19 and to other infirmities that prevent them from being able to leave home. For all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For Mike, Kristen, and Andrew. For Vivian, Betty Arant's great-granddaughter. For Barbara, a friend of Donna Houston. For Lee, Donna's brother-in-law. For Alice, Truluck's friend who's caring for her parents, suffering from Alzheimer's. For Christy, a friend of Betsy Smoke. For Randy, a co-worker of Larry Lott. For Paul and his family in the death of his daughter. Paul is a teacher at Chapin High School. For Linda and Bill as Linda recovers from surgery this past week. For my high school baseball coach, Coach Doherty, who is hospitalized at this time. For all healthcare workers, for our veterans and VA staff, and for all the members of Grace and their families. Through the resurrection of your Son, O God, you conquered death and opened the gates of life everlasting. In the power of the Holy Spirit, raise us with Christ, that we too may proclaim healing and peace to the nations. And as Christ taught us, so now we pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen.
Please join with me in singing, Up from the Grave He Arose.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Our gospel lesson this day comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So other than Jesus in this story, I think Mary is our main character in John's account of the resurrection that we've heard this morning for this sunrise service. We've got Peter and the other disciple, and a lot of times they get a lot of attention on an Easter sermon about racing to the tomb, but I'm not as concerned with them this morning because I see Mary as our main character, our main disciple that we want to look at and think about as we think about our posture and our position related to the resurrection, because Mary goes to prepare the body for its proper burial early in the morning before the sun has come up, so that as soon as the sun rises on the first day of the week, the day when she can do work, she's been resting on the Sabbath, and so she hasn't been able to prepare the body for burial. But as soon as the day breaks, her plan is to be there to attend to Jesus's body as was proper under the law. But when she gets there, she sees that the stone is rolled away, and immediately she leaves to go and report that the body is stolen back to the disciples. And it's interesting because apparently she hasn't even looked in the tomb. She only sees that the stone is rolled away, and then she leaves and she goes to find the other disciples. And that's when we get the race to the tomb, Peter and the other disciple, and they find the grave clothes still there, which is an odd thing. If the body has been taken by someone, why leave the grave clothes wrapped up and folded in the place where the body had been? And then both of these disciples, Peter and the one that Jesus loved, they leave, but without understanding that Jesus had been raised. We hear that the other disciple believed, but that then we hear they didn't understand about the resurrection. So he believed that the body was gone, apparently. But that was it. And at this point, they leave and go home. But Mary stays at the tomb weeping after Peter and the other disciple leave. She has perhaps run after them back to the tomb and has arrived finally as they're leaving, it sounds like. And so now that they're leaving, she finally bends over to look in for herself. And it's at this point that she encounters the angels sitting where Jesus was, who ask her why she is weeping. The angels don't speak again, interestingly. All they ever do in this passage is ask Mary, "Why are you weeping?" And she says, because they've taken my Lord, and I don't know where he is now. And then at this point, she encounters Jesus, who responds to her plea to the angels with an echo of their question and an addition of his own. Why are you weeping? For whom are you looking? She thinks he's the gardener. But she only wants to know where Jesus' body is. She cannot yet see that it's Jesus until he calls her by name. Now, she thought he was the gardener, and my contention is that he is. We often think that Mary mistakes Jesus for the gardener, but I think she got it exactly right. He is the gardener of new creation, the gardener of new life, the gardener that has come to till in the earth and to make all things new as God would have them to be in the new creation of the new kingdom that is coming. And so now Jesus calls Mary by name as the gardener of the new creation. He gives her a new name in his new life, in his new creation. He gives her a new identity as a part of the kingdom of God so that she can see him as he is, Rabboni, master, teacher. He calls her by her name in the new creation, and all of a sudden her eyes are opened, but it's not yet time to stay in the garden, Jesus tells her. It's time to go and tell of the resurrection and the coming ascension. And so she goes and preaches all of the good news. She goes and tells the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and this is what he told me, that he's about to ascend to his Father and our Father, to his God and our God. She goes and becomes the first preacher of the gospel of resurrection. I just want to note, the first Christian preacher was a woman, and we shouldn't lose sight of that. But you see, for Mary and the other disciples, the world had been turned upside down in the matter of a week. Jesus, whom they had faithfully followed for 3 years, went from celebrated Messiah to crucified criminal in just a few days. We've charted that as we have listened to Scripture over this Holy Week. And now, to top it all off, Mary goes to fulfill the law regarding Jesus' burial, and it seems that someone has come and stolen his body. The world's already upside down. Jesus is already dead and in the grave, and now the tomb is rolled away. And so I think we can understand how the disciples and Mary were feeling a little bit better than we might normally can. Because I think right now we understand what it feels like for the world to be turned upside down. The loss of life alone in our current situation, our current quarantine, our current battle with this COVID-19 virus is staggering. And coupled with the fear of things getting worse, our grief and sense of loss is definitely heightened right now. It feels like every time we think, I'll take one step forward in this, maybe I can do this one thing, or maybe we start to feel a sense of routine in the chaos. Every time that happens, something else gets added to the non-essential list and we have to grieve all over again. Or we read one little piece of good news and then all of a sudden, it's not as good as it sounded, and we have to grieve all over again. I think we understand how Mary and the disciples felt with their world turned upside down at least a little bit. And so I think that that's how Mary must have been feeling when she saw that stone rolled away, like, no, I can't do this by myself. I've got to go and get the other disciples. I can't look in and see if his body is really gone by myself in this. The world's already upside down. Maybe that's why she leaves without ever looking in at the beginning of the passage. She needs that support from others who've been grieving with her to be able to summon the strength to go in and confirm her fears. But those two go ahead of her and depart before she ever gets there. And that's, to me, why Mary is our main character other than Jesus. Because where Peter and the other disciple leave not understanding, where Peter and the other disciple leave just believing that the body has been taken, that the body is gone, but don't understand about the resurrection, Mary stays at the tomb weeping. Mary stays at the tomb to find Jesus no matter what. She doesn't care how long she has to stay there. She doesn't care who comes to question her about it. She doesn't care who's there with her or what happens, if it's the gardener, if it's two angels in white. She's there until she finds Jesus, not just resigned that he's gone forever, not just believing that he's been stolen and there's nothing to be done about it. She stays even though she is weeping. And it's a sign of her hope that she stays, even if she's hoping for far less than what is actually to come. Even if she's just hoping to find the body of Jesus, it's her hope that keeps her in the garden. Because what came was the announcement of recreation, of restoration, of salvation of the world, and that the master, the gardener, was once again at work in the garden. She stayed with a hope that was less than what Jesus had in store, but she stayed with hope. And when she stayed with hope at the tomb, weeping, waiting to find Jesus, staying to find Jesus no matter what, she found Jesus. I think that's a promise we can cling to. If we'll stay and hold on, waiting on Christ, we will find him no matter what. So this Easter morning, my question for all of us is, will we stay at the tomb until we find Jesus or find him again? Some of us have found Jesus in the past and lost him, let go of him. We've lost sight. All of us go through that at certain times. So will we stay at the tomb until we find Jesus or until we see him again this year? Will we stay weeping at the entrance of the tomb, desperately looking for our Lord and Savior, not content that he's just gone? Trusting that he is raised to new life. Are you willing to open yourself up to how you will be and are being recreated in his image and likeness even now? Will you open yourself up to that this morning, to being recreated in Christ's image, to being raised to new life once again, and to the new resurrected creation that he would have you to be when he appears? When, not if. It's not if he appears, when he appears. If we stay in hope, knowing he is coming, he is coming. And so when he appears to you, to show you how he's recreating you, to call you by name so that you can see the new life all around you, will you be open to that new creation that he has for you? And if so, if you're open to that, if you're willing to stay at the tomb until you see Christ, then when it happens, when Christ appears to you outside the tomb, when you see the resurrection in all its glory, when you see how God is recreating you, when you see all of those things happening, then go and tell. Then do like Mary and go and tell everyone, I have seen the Lord. Go and tell everyone that you can. Shout it from your front porch. Shout it from your living room, shout it however you have to, type it in on your computer in an email blast to everybody you know, put it as your Facebook status, whatever you have to do, spread the good news of the gospel that Jesus is raised. Tell everybody, I have seen the Lord. But it all begins with us waiting at the tomb to see Jesus, not leaving too early, not getting impatient, not losing hope. It begins with us in hope, waiting at the tomb, trusting that Christ is coming and that we will find him. So will you wait at the tomb this morning, waiting on recreation, waiting on new creation, waiting on what God is doing to restore us and resurrect us even now? That is my hope and prayer for us this day. In the name of Jesus, the resurrected one, would you pray with me? Living God, long ago, faithful women proclaimed the good news of Jesus' resurrection, and the world was changed forever. Teach us to keep faith with them, that our witness may be as bold, our love as deep, and our faith as true. Amen. Now let's join together as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed and proclaim what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. This morning, as we enter this time of Thanksgiving and offering, we invite you to offer your tithes and offerings to the Lord. We have an online giving option. It's at gracecolumbia.org. There's a couple of different links to our giving page from there. One's on the left-hand side of the page. You'll see online giving, and on the top right of the bar, you'll also see electronic giving. Either one will take you to the online giving page. If you're on a mobile device, then the giving page is at the bottom of the webpage. You can also still drop your offering by in the mailbox during the week or mail it in, whatever works best for you to be able to give your offering to the Lord this day. We thank and praise God for a beautiful creation, for no rain yet, so that we could be outside for our in creation and God's new creation for this sunrise service this morning. And so as you are preparing to give back to God, I invite you to go to God in prayer with me. Mighty God of resurrection and redemption, we offer our gifts alongside our alleluias. We offer our hands and feet and voices to take the celebration out of this place into a world that needs hope so desperately. May we go into the world with such energy, excitement, and power that the ground shakes once again, that lightning flashes, and that people see in us your redeeming love and the triumph of light over darkness. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please join with me in singing our hymn, He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever foes may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. We are sent in the power of Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. So glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.